This morning on WCHL, lots of opposition has put big money into the Orange County Sheriff's race. There are a half dozen candidates. Early voting numbers continue to rise. Jan Boxall's term as UNC faculty chair is nearing its end.
There was plenty of work to be done by the faculty, so I certainly knew that I was embarking on a daunting expedition.
What's the best and safest way to clean up the coal ash ponds?
I think it's important to understand that excavation and transportation process would be an extraordinarily dangerous thing to attempt.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, Carolina baseball finds itself in a different kind of situation this year, struggling to get into the postseason, and the Tar Heels are heading into the exam break now. And
will the Charlotte Bobcats be better or worse as the Charlotte Hornets again?
That's this morning at Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
66 degrees in Chapel Hill, 806 at WCHL, and a cloudy day on the way. Chance of showers and an outside chance of a thunderstorm in the afternoon. High today about 78, but certainly better than yesterday. According to recently released campaign finance reports, one sheriff's candidate has raised and spent more money than all his competitors combined. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
Orange County will elect a new sheriff for the first time in three decades. And with six Democrats vying for the job, that race could be decided in next week's primary. With that in mind, candidates are spending the majority of their campaign dollars now. But no one has raised and spent as much as Charles Blackwood. According to first quarter campaign finance reports, the 32-year veteran of the sheriff's office raised $34,700 so far this election cycle. That includes $5,400 the campaign had on hand at the beginning of the race, another $5,800 Blackwood loaned his campaign, and $28,800 from individuals. Of that, Blackwood has spent $22,700. In addition to paying for signs and banners, the campaign has spent $5,000 on mailers, $3,400 on hats and t-shirts, $1,000 on a custom car wrap, and $460 in fuel. This puts him head and shoulders above his competition. For comparison, Keith Webster has raised $8,000, David Caldwell has raised $4,600, Andy Cagle has $4,200, Larry Fawcett has $3,500, and Buddy Parker raised a little more than $2,000. While most of the candidates have spent the bulk of the money raised, Blackwood still has $11,800 in his campaign coffers, which may prove useful if next week's primary triggers a runoff. If no one garners more than 40% of the vote, the top two candidates will face off in the second primary later this summer. Early voting is underway now until Saturday, and the primary is next Tuesday. For more about each candidate, you can listen to a forum hosted by the Orange County Democratic Party on our website, chapelboro.com. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
More than 1,000 people cast their ballots early on Monday and Tuesday of this week, and numbers continued to rise. The Orange County Board of Elections headquarters continues to be the most popular location, as more than 215 votes were cast there each day. On Monday, 587 total votes were cast in Orange County, while Tuesday saw 591 voters make their picks. The North Carolina Hillel Center has been a point of focus, as it's the closest location for UNC students. The numbers have only eclipsed 50 votes one day, but it's not the worst location this early voting season. Master's Garden has not seen more than 23 votes cast in any single day of the early voting period and has not yet eclipsed the century mark. Early voting continues through Saturday. The early voting period is a lot shorter this year than it has been in the past. For location information, you can read this story on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. During Jan Boxall's first faculty meeting as chair of the faculty council, she shared the theme that we are all partners. In her final speech to the faculty council on Friday, Boxall reflected on her time as chair and shared her hopes for the future of faculty governance as her term nears its end. WCHL's Rachel Nash reports.
We will continue to be faced with challenges, but I think together I'm confident that we can overcome them and become a stronger university that we can all be proud of, that we can share in. And I emphasize the word share.
When Boxall began her term in the leadership position as one of UNC's top academic officials in July of 2011, the university was dealing with steep budget cuts and most notably the ongoing academic and athletic scandals.
There was plenty of work to be done by the faculty, so I certainly knew that I was embarking on a daunting expedition.
Boxall has faced her share of criticism in connection to the university's athletic and academic scandals, and this fallout has continued to see new life. In mid-July 2013, Boxall was accused by the News and Observer of a cover-up for an internal university email about information regarding academic fraud issues in the African and Afro-American Studies Department. The department had been found to have offered fake and no-show classes. Boxall told WCHL in the following weeks that she was cast in a negative light for trying to help the university at a time when its reputation was in jeopardy with the NCAA, the media, and the public. In response to the NNO article, the UNC Faculty Executive Committee issued a statement of support for Boxall. During the meeting Friday, she thanked the committee for their encouragement during a time when she faced so much public scrutiny. Boxall's time as chair will end in July, and Dr. Bruce Cairns, professor in the Department of Surgery and director of the North Carolina J.C. Burns Center, will succeed her. In April, with record voter turnout, Cairns was elected to the position. This increased participation from the faculty, Boxall said, made her confident that the UNC community will continue to remain engaged, saying that, quote, none of us can do what we need to do alone.
We're not and are not islands unto ourselves.
Boxall, who received a standing ovation from her colleagues during the meeting, said that shared participation in faculty governance will be the key for the university to be successful in dealing with the challenges that lie ahead. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Teachers, administrators, counselors, and other student advisors in the Chapel Hill-Carborough City School System are ready to recruit more low-income and non-white students to enroll in advanced placement courses over the next 5 months. The Board of Education will be updated about the findings and progress of that three-part initiative at tonight's school board meeting. Back in May 2013, the school system teamed up with Equal Opportunity Schools. That's a Seattle-based nonprofit organization that's dedicated to helping schools identify minority students who are not enrolled in the best academic programs despite being capable of doing very well in them. East Chapel Hill High School and Carborough High School have completed two phases of a three-phase process to close that gap. Phase one was study of the problem, and phase two was to educate school leaders about the size of the problem and its causes. In phase three, the plan will actually be implemented. The measure of the program's success by fall of 2014 will determine whether the two schools receive full payment of Google grant funds of up to $13,500 for Carborough High and up to $16,400 for East Chapel Hill High School. Tonight's meeting of the Chapel Hill Carborough City School Board of Education is at 7 p.m. at the Lincoln Center on Merritt Mill Road. Local elected officials say they'll have to cut services, especially in the school systems, to make up for the budget cuts coming out of Raleigh, which County Commissioner Penny Ritz says were done to hurt the local governments.
We know that the state is purposely taking money away from school systems to make us suffer. It's not to make something better, it's to make us suffer and to make us spend our money.
Budget discussions between Orange County and the school systems begin next Tuesday. Chapel Hill Carborough School Board member James Barrett says these cuts are moves by state legislators that go against what our state constitution says is our very foundation.
Our state constitution is very clear that the responsibility of providing a sound education for all of our students lies in the General Assembly, and they are passing on that.
While raising taxes increases the amount of money that goes out of a household budget, former mayor of Carborough and Register of Deeds candidate Mark Chilton says cuts to the budget have done more harm.
There's a lot of households whose household budgets have been hit hard by the legislature as well. Up until a few months ago, I was working in the nonprofit sector, and every day seeing people coming into our office who were single moms who were just barely scabbing it together with whatever resources they could find, and we're seeing the resources available declining rapidly. It puts people in some very tough situations.
Federal cuts piled on the state cuts with things like reduced food stamp funding and health care benefits add a problem. Rich adds that those cuts are sending more people below the poverty line.
We turn more people in our county into working poor instead of knowing that we can help them get above that. We talked a little bit about public education, but it's also the higher education. I have a son who's at App State. The first semester, his food plan was not taxed. The second semester, his food plan was taxed. How are we helping our families in North Carolina let their kids get higher education?
Ed Harrison is a member of the Chapel Hill Town Council. He says the North Carolina General Assembly cut off the legs of the local governments when it not only cut the budget, but it also reduced the authority of local governing bodies.
For a city or town, particularly because we do not have home rule, nor do counties, that's been the major impact, because we entered the session without having home rule, and the General Assembly majority just piled on higher and deeper. They took away what little authority we thought we had in some cases, for instance, in the City of Durham case, the ability to control who gets their water and sewer.
And what's the solution to all this? Councilmember Lee Storrow says the move that Raleigh's making now is just for show.
In Orange County and across the state, local governments are having to find ways to increase revenue or increase taxes. So it's easy to say at a superficial level, look how great it is that we haven't raised taxes, but they're just passing the buck onto local leaders and local governing bodies.
Storrow says with state and local elections just around the corner, there are places where Democrats can sneak in and take back part of the legislature.
I appreciate the importance of finding work to support candidates who are in winnable districts who can help move the legislature in a different direction.
Penny Rich says until that's accomplished, the local governments have to show whatever support they can to those who have and are taking hits from the budget cuts.
It's really important that we get behind these people, and they should know that we're going to be there for them, even though monies are cut. Could we set up some public-private partnerships? Could we get someone to donate paint? Could we support something like that? So it is, you know, the money is the most important, but if we can't give them the money, we'll be there for them to direct them to the right people that can help them with donated goods.
To clarify, some have already taken hits, some are still taking hits, and some will certainly take hits in the future. These comments were made during the panel From Raleigh to Orange during the 2014 WCHL Community Forum last week. You can read the full story and listen to the complete hour on our website at chapelboro.com. Also, soon we'll have replays of those hours right here on WCHL. It's 8:16, time now for traffic and weather together. And this traffic report is brought to you by Fifth Season Gardening, organic gardening, homebrew, hydroponics, cheese making, and much more at their downtown Carborough store. Fifth Season, not your garden variety gardening store. While traffic has been moving along fairly smoothly this morning, we haven't had the water on the roadways that we've had in some of our past days. Here's Rand Northam to give you all the details.
Thank you, Ron. Let's start on I-40 east of us as we start just short of the Wade Avenue exit as you're traveling westbound on I-40, coming around that corner where Wade Avenue splits off of I-40. Some heavy, heavy delays right now. No accident being reported, but we're seeing some heavy slowdowns there. So as you're traveling towards the Chapel Hill, Carborough, Orange County community, you're going to see some delays there. That's all the way up to Aviation Parkway, so be on the lookout. Give yourself some extra time to travel. 15501 southbound between I-40 and Estes Drive, seeing some delays, minor to moderate there. A little bit further south on 15501 southbound between NC-54 and Manning Drive, Raleigh Road to Manning Drive, seeing some slight delays on 15501. Also, 15501 northbound between Columbia and Manning, seeing some slight delays right now. And NC-54 heading westbound between I-40 and Barbie Chapel Road, seeing some slight delays. Nothing major in the general Chapel Hill Carborough area, but we are seeing some slowdowns out there right now. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
And moving right along into the weather forecast for today, a lot better than yesterday, for sure. The forecast is brought to you by Berkeley Grimble and the folks at Grimble Jewelers on Elliott Road in the Village Plaza, right next door to Whole Foods. Really easy to find. Grimble Jewelers, Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler. Now, it is 65 degrees in Chapel Hill, 64 in Carborough, 65 also this morning in Hillsborough. Mostly cloudy today, scattered showers in the forecast, maybe an isolated thunderstorm or two. Our high today, about 77 or 78. Awfully windy later on in the day, wind gust up to 30 miles per hour late in the afternoon. Chance of rain, 40%. Love it. 20% chance of rain tonight, still windy with a low in the low 50s. And then tomorrow, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies with the highs in the upper 60s.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial position is 97.9 FM. Our website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen from anywhere in the world. With instantly live streaming, you can always start your day with Ron Stutz on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
WCHL news time is 8:19. The Chapel Hill Carborough community is mourning the recent passing of Robin Britt, co-owner of Merritt Store and Grill. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
I think you're going to miss that mother figure that she provided in Chapel Hill. I mean, there's not a lot of people that stand firm and want to know people, and that's what she was all about.
That's interior designer Lucinda Poole. She's a close friend of Robin Britt, the co-owner of Merritt Store and Grill, a beloved Chapel Hill institution since 1929. Robin Britt died on April 25th, 9 months after she was diagnosed with cancer. She was 51 years old. She was born Robin Noel in Richmond, Virginia on July 14, 1962, Bastille Day, as she liked to remind friends and family. She loved all things French. Her son, 25-year-old Charles Britt, has been coming down from Manhattan to help out with managing the store ever since his mother was diagnosed with cancer. He was there this past Monday morning when Merritt's was packed with customers who wanted to express their condolences and share memories. Some created a memorial by placing flowers, cards, and stuffed animals on the bench and front of the store. Some paid tribute by simply buying one of those famous BLTs that made Merritt's a destination for foodies, as well as blue-collar workers or anyone else who just wanted the best sandwich in Chapel Hill. Charles said that Robin put a lot of love into that BLT. She called it a love sandwich. She insisted on using locally sourced ingredients, and she put the same love and care into how the place looked and how it felt to be there. Robin Britt and her husband Bob took over the business back in 1991. In 2008, they decided to renovate Merritt's to create more of a sit-down, family-friendly atmosphere, which now includes live bluegrass music just about every weekend. Here's Charles Britt.
She loves just the beauty in rustic things and the beauty in people, and she wanted it to be more of a community and a gathering point. And really it was her mission field to share God's love just with the community, even if it's just through a quick conversation or a pat on the back.
Robin's motto for Merritt's was, where the country meets the university. And it truly is a melting pot, says Charles.
You'd have the plumber sitting next to a psychiatrist or a professor, and the conversation that would rise up out of that is just amazing.
On Monday, a customer shared a story with Charles about a time Robin looked out the window of Merritt's and spotted two fellows pushing a car up the hill on Columbia Street. They came into the store to buy a drink, and she gave them both jobs on the spot. Her friend Lucinda Poole recalls an outgoing person with a deep Christian faith who treated everybody who came through Merritt's door as a friend, and not in a superficial way. Robin Britt was genuinely interested in the lives of other people, their families, and how they were doing.
People will say, I met her once and I've never forgotten it. You know, and I said, what do you do to people? And she said, I always found that the most interesting thing about people is what they weren't saying.
Charles says that Robin held on to that faith and selfless regard for others all through her nine-month battle with cancer. He says that was true even when she was bedridden during her final days.
It was amazing that, you know, even when she could hardly talk, her interest was in her visitors and how to make them feel comforted, not herself.
Crispy Bess is a local rock and roll guitar player in the bands Dexter Romweber and the New Romans, Killer Filler, and Fat Links. He's also something of an expert on great Southern food. Years ago, he and his friend Hoppy Newton did a profile of Merritt's for a short-lived show about barbecue on public access television. From that day on, he says, Robin Britt treated Bess like a king every time he walked into the store. He'd get free food, a good table, and a heap of praise from Robin. He says that still floors him to this day.
I think that makes her, like, you know, truly exceptional. You know, I cannot recall meeting anybody like that in my life before, and I think that we're going to miss that.
Robin Britt is survived by her husband Bob and her sons Charles and Bobby. A celebration of life is scheduled on May 25th at 3 p.m. at Aqueduct Conference Center in Chapel Hill. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that friends consider donating to the Robin Britt Memorial Fund. Charles says that some of the money will go toward creating a memorial garden at the Aqueduct Conference Center. Some of it will go toward Robin Britt's medical bills. For more about the life of Robin Britt, you can find this story at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A correction to make in that story, Robin Britt was 62. She will certainly be missed. It's agreed that Duke Energy needs to stop the contamination of waterways in areas surrounding its 33 unlined coal ash ponds and 14 coal-fired power plants all over North Carolina. We'll delve into that story at the bottom of the hour on WCHL with our resident environmental guy and engineer, Jeff Danner, on WCHL. It's 8:24, time for a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. The baseball team is in the midst of a six-day exam break in Carolina, but the Tar Heels will be back in action next Tuesday for a critical stretch of games, and they're in a very unfamiliar position, fighting for the postseason. WCHL's Matt Oakes reports.
It was another anemic offensive display for the Carolina Bats Tuesday against East Carolina. The Tar Heels had hoped they'd hit their stride after a three-game ACC sweep of the Hokies of Virginia Tech. But after a rough shutout, head coach Mike Fox's bunch may be thankful for a hiatus from the diamond, especially since Carolina's most reliable hitter, Michael Russell, was forced to leave Tuesday's contest with a sore back. But all hope has not been lost for this year's crop of Tar Heels. The pitching staff is the strength of this year's team. In fact, star reliever Riley Hovis just earned ACC Co-Pitcher of the Week honors alongside NC State's Carlos Rodon.
There's a lot more to this story on chapelbro.com. Go to our website and you can read it there. And Carolina baseball team, certainly it's not over for them. They hope to turn it around and get some momentum going into postseason play. And right now in a very unlikely position for a Carolina baseball team. North Carolina High School Athletic Association's Board of Directors has approved a mercy rule for football and basketball games. The rule would go into effect for football games if the point differential reaches at least 42 points by halftime or afterward. It would go into effect for basketball games in which a margin reaches 40 points by halftime or afterward. In both cases, the game would use a running clock or could be ended early with the agreement of both teams. The board approved the mercy rule along with several other measures during its spring meeting yesterday, including a $500 fine per game for coaches who do not take a required concussion management course. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports, 826. I'm Rod Stutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Will the Charlotte Bobcats be better or worse as the Charlotte Hornets again? This is Art Chansky with Thursday. Do you realize that the NBA team in this state tripled its number of wins from 2012 to 2013 and then more than doubled its victory total from last season to the one that just ended? That's right, 7 wins to 21 wins to 43 wins in 3 years. Now the Bobcats go back to the future by changing their name to the Hornets, Charlotte's original NBA team in the city's first run through the NBA. The Hornets moved to New Orleans, where they changed their names to the Pelicans, who missed the NBA playoffs this season, while the future namesakes made it for the first time since Larry Brown coached them 4 head coaches ago. If it sounds confusing, it is. But while most of this state didn't notice, giving up on Michael Jordan's team when they were a dismal 7-59, think about that, 7-59, Charlotte has a pro basketball team now worthy of our attention, whatever you want to call them. And Steve Clifford may be the most underrated coach in the NBA. I think Jordan will keep him around for more than one season. The Bobcats, or Hornets, have 2 of the better players in the NBA in Al Jefferson and Kemba Walker. I'm not saying they would have avoided a sweep by the Miami Heat in the first round of the playoffs if Jefferson hadn't missed the last game and played hurt in the first 3, but they might have. Heck, they only lost by 11, 14, 3, and 11 points to the team that may win its 3rd straight NBA championship. The Bobcats made pro basketball relative again in the Queen City, bringing people back out to Time Warner Cable Arena, and even bringing Jordan back more frequently after he seemed embarrassed to show his face the prior 2 seasons. Besides Jefferson and Walker, who led UConn to the 2011 national championship, like Shabazz Napier did this past season, the Bobcats have filled their roster with better players than they've had in years. They are young and talented. Cody Zeller, Tyler's kid brother, proved durable as a rookie, the only member of the Bobcats to play in every game this season while averaging 6 points and more than 4 rebounds in 17 minutes per game. 2 Dukies, Gerald Henderson and Josh McRoberts, gave the Bobettes, or Horncats, surprising depth, and players like the hyphenated brothers, Michael Kidd Gilchrist and Chris Douglas Roberts, established themselves as stars of the future. So whatever you want to call them, Charlotte's NBA team is now something to talk about again. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Gaines Steer is no spring chicken. Even last unicorns must finally retire after 25 years. The last tango in unicorn land is here. Now it's time for grayer pastures. Grayer pastures, get it? Friends and patrons of the last unicorn, here is the deal. 50% off of everything. Open every day, May and June, 60 days for final clearance. Wow. Come and get it. 60 days to plunder. By the way, my house and property is also now on sale. Do inquire. Till then, Gaines.
Hi, I'm Ace Young.
And I'm Diana DeGarmo.
And we're starring in Tim Rice.
And Andrew Lloyd Webber's
Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
It's heartwarming.
All new.
Classic.
Family friendly.
Fun.
Fantastic.
Uplifting.
It's Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Don't miss it.
On stage from May 13th to 18th, SunTrust Broadway at DPAC. Tickets still available. Call or go to DPACNC.com.
I am Earl McKee, Orange County Commissioner for District 2 and candidate for re-election. Orange County is a bright light in what many perceive to be dark days for North Carolina. We must continue to be that light, leading the way to ensure the perception of retreat on environmental and social issues does not become reality. I am Earl McKee, Democratic candidate, and I would appreciate your vote on May the 6th.
Paid for by Earl McKee for District 2.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Aqua Squad. It's half off, $100 worth of pool and spa chemicals, available now for $50. Owning a pool or hot tub is an investment that should be cared for properly, and Aqua Squad believes in providing their customers with excellent customer service, professional workmanship, and quality products. Say goodbye to the cold.
Degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Expect the cloudy skies all day today with a chance of scattered showers, maybe even a thunder boomer. Our high today in the upper 70s. We're all going to be kind of windy later on in the day. Gust up to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, low 50s are low and only a 20% chance of rain.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carborough community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM WCHL. And you'll find it on our website, chapelborough.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. When part of the Pensacola jail blew up last night in the Florida Panhandle,
two people were killed, both inmates. About 115 or so employees and inmates were taken to four local hospitals.
And says correspondent Mark Strassman,
witnesses describe a chaotic scene here of getting the wounded and the injured into ambulances and buses.
Now we're hearing that all of the injuries are said to be minor. Roughly 600 inmates were in the facility at the time, and those who were not hurt were transferred to other nearby county jails. What caused this explosion about 8.5 hours ago?
The belief is that it was a gas explosion, possibly caused by this week's storms. This building was running on generator power when the explosion happened, and a gas explosion is what's going to be looked at first and foremost as search teams and investigators move through the facility once it becomes safe enough to do that.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
832 at WCHL, 66 degrees and cloudy in Chapel Hill. Just a 40% chance of rain today. Look for strong winds later on in the day. I'm Rod Studs. Today, another important day because it's another day for early voting. A shortened period of time this year compared to last year and the years before that. More than 1,000 people cast their ballots early on Monday and Tuesday of this week. The numbers continue to rise. The Orange County Board of Elections headquarters continues to be the most popular location, as more than 215 votes were cast there each day. On Monday, 587 total votes were cast in Orange County, while Tuesday saw 591 voters make their picks, almost an equal number. The North Carolina Hillel Center has been a point of focus, as it's a closest location to UNC students. The numbers have only eclipsed 50 votes one day, but it's not the worst location this early voting season. Masters Garden has not seen more than 23 votes cast in any single day and has not yet eclipsed the century mark. Early voting continues through this Saturday. Again, a much shorter period of time this year. For location information, you can read the story on our website at chapelborough.com. It's agreed that Duke Energy needs to stop the contamination of waterways in areas surrounding its 33 unlined coal ash ponds at 14 coal-fired power plants located across North Carolina. But state officials, activists, and company leaders are at odds over the best way to address the problem. In the wake of the massive spill into the Dan River back in February, environmental groups are demanding that the nation's largest utility remove more than 100 million tons of hazardous coal ash away from those sites. This would entail drying the coal ash, which contains toxic substances such as lead, arsenic, and mercury, according to WCHL's resident science expert and engineer, Jeff Danner. Duke Energy representatives told the legislative committee last week that removing all of the coal ash away from the state's rivers and lakes would take decades and cost up to $10 billion, with the company's customers likely to pay for the majority of the cleanup. Here is Jeff Danner.
And if it just were the time and the expense involved, I would say, well,
go ahead, get on with it. But I think it's important to understand that that excavation and transportation process would be an extraordinarily dangerous thing to attempt.
Danner, who's been following the fallout from the coal ash spill, said that from an engineering standpoint, he believes the safest way to deal with the coal ash is to continue to store it on site, but in a different manner, without having to dry it. Drying coal ash ponds to remove the waste would be dangerous if it were to become uncontained and dispersed. Danner suggested incorporating the coal ash into solid blocks of concrete as a safer form of long-term storage. He said that attempting to dry and move the coal ash waste could prove to be disastrous and result in accidents associated with these types of non-routine procedures.
In order to keep it on site and keep it from blowing away in the wind, it's kept underwater so that when you hear coal ash pond, they're accumulating it and keeping it under the water so it doesn't blow away.
Inhaling coal ash obviously leads to getting the toxic substance in your lungs, according to Danner, which can cause immediate health problems and can lead to cancer. If the coal ash were to be hauled away in massive amounts to a central lined landfill, Danner said the risk would just be too high. Having to excavate the collection ponds and relocating the massive amounts of coal ash that have accumulated over the years versus disposing of it as it accrued are very different matters.
And I think if you want to say what should have happened in all these years from the very beginning, it would have been manageable to store this waste and take it off-site in small increments as it was generated over the last couple of decades.
Duke Energy officials told lawmakers last week that they proposed to excavate the coal ash at only three of its power plants in an effort to be more cost efficient. For the remaining plants, they would dry the ash and cover it with giant tarps topped with soil. Danner said this method would not be a viable long-term solution either, and that the tarps would corrode over time. The most environmentally friendly and least dangerous threat to human health, according to Danner, could be done without having to dry the coal ash. From a broader perspective, Danner said that Duke Energy could fund studies to examine the larger issues of coal ash ponds and find better solutions for how to store it. The North Carolina official who manages public pension funds says she'll vote against the Duke Energy board member in hopes that a replacement will deal with the coal ash spill. State Treasurer Janet Cowell declared yesterday she will vote against Duke Energy Director Carlos Saladrigas' re-election at the company's shareholder meeting today. Cowell said in a letter obtained by the Associated Press, she wants a third vacancy in the board committee overseeing company operations. And in news around town this morning, congratulations to Lisa Shin, Young Park, Justin Takamaya, and Laura Meshnick, all students at Phillips Middle School in Chapel Hill, who earned spots on the North Carolina Middle School Honors Band. Park, Takamaya, and Meshnick all play clarinet. Shin plays the flute, and the four students auditioned in January. All four will now participate in the Honors Band Clinic May 2nd through 4th on the UNC campus. That, of course, starts tomorrow and will go through Sunday. And beginning Monday, the playground at Chapel Hill's Oakwood Park were to be closed for about a week to allow staff to make improvements to park paths. There are other playgrounds nearby at Umstead Park, the Hargraves Community Center, and the Chapel Hill Community Center. If you like the locations of all the playgrounds in Chapel Hill, you can visit townofchapelhill.org/parks. 8:37 at WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz, and Zach Godwin joins me now at the Twitter desk. And Zach, what are folks talking about today?
Well, I've got a story that's been making the rounds, and it's just a really great story that I'm glad we get to share. We don't often talk about other schools in the country. We're pretty Carolina centric here, as we should be. But
sure,
a student at University of Alabama. He was a swimmer there. He was killed during the tornadoes that went through there the other day, which is terrible. But the sort of redeeming thing out of that is a retaining wall had fallen in his apartment, and he held it up to save his girlfriend, who escaped completely unharmed. And it was just something that was just a great show of sacrifice for this guy. His teammate, another swimmer, Anna Ray Gorjansky, I hope I'm saying that right, tweeted out, John Servati died a hero, held up a concrete wall long enough for his girlfriend to get out from under it before it collapsed again on him. John's mom told our team this morning he always wanted to be an Alabama swimmer, and he always wanted to be a hero. He accomplished both.
Wow. That's a really sad story, but she was right. He was a hero, no question.
Absolutely. The swimming coach said John Servati was an extraordinary young man of great character and warmth, who had a tremendously giving spirit. And that was the Alabama coach Dennis Persley. And this, he was a junior. He was a three-time SEC All-Academic Honor Roll. He had a GPA better than 3.5, which I didn't even have that good of a GPA, and I didn't have to swim all the time.
Yeah, well, a lot of great student-athletes out there. We just don't hear about them. We hear about others.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, it's the concept is not lost, that's for sure.
But, I mean, this guy, you know, it's a tragic story, but I think it's great that we're able to kind of share it and let people know about it.
If folks want to tweet us, how do they do that?
Our handle is at Chapelboro or at WCHL. You can send us stories, maybe some happier stories, so we have something a little happier to talk about tomorrow.
And people out there tweeting away about all sorts of things, and that's just a really interesting story. Thanks for bringing that to my attention and everybody's attention. I'm going to read about that when I get off the air this morning.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
Thanks a bunch. It is 8:40 at WCHL. Coming up next, Walt Mack has a commentary. He talks about how the governor and the General Assembly in Raleigh is disrespecting so many people all over our state. He talks about that. And also, that's today's commentary. Also, we're going to take what's happening with the North Carolina Youth Tap Ensemble. The inimitable Gene Medler is in the house. We're going to talk to him coming up.
Moms love healthy gifts from Massage Envy Spa.
For me, this is my day to relax, find balance, and feel loved. The love part is covered. Massage Envy Spa will handle the rest.
It's rejuvenating. The stress is gone, and it never felt better to be mom.
Through May 11th, treat all the moms in your life to Massage Envy Spa. Purchase one gift card, get the second one half off. Come visit clinics in Eastgate and South Point for gift cards at buy one, get one half off. Or call 1-800-944-ENVY.
Gaines Theater is no spring chicken. Even last unicorns must finally retire after 25 years. The last tango in unicorn land is here. Now it's time for grayer pastures. Grayer pastures, get it? Friends and patrons of the last unicorn, here is the deal. 50% off of everything. Open every day, May and June, 60 days for final clearance. Wow. Come and get it. 60 days to plunder. By the way, my house and property is also now on sale. Do inquire. Till then, Gaines.
I am Earl McKee, Orange County Commissioner for District 2 and candidate for re-election. Orange County is a bright light in what many perceive to be dark days for North Carolina. We must continue to be that light, leading the way to ensure the perception of retreat on environmental and social issues does not become reality. I am Earl McKee, Democratic candidate, and I would appreciate your vote on May the 6th.
Paid for by Earl McKee for District 2.
The Kennedy Dental Group has a brand new location at 1721 East Franklin Street in the iconic WCHL building across from the Eastgate Shopping Center. With their spacious new offices, Drs. Jeff Kennedy, Dick Wagner, and Leland Webb are now happily accepting new patients at their convenient location with plenty of free parking. Whether a returning patient or looking for a new dentist, the Kennedy Dental Group is ready for you. Call 919-967-9291 for an appointment or go online at KennedyDentalGroup.com.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Jim Smith, Cedars member since 2010. Here's what Jim had to say.
The Cedars meant a lot to Jane and I, and let me give you one example of that. She was hurt on a trip when we were in Ireland in the fall of the last year, and after being air-evac'd back and admitted to the UNC hospital system, she was able to go to our rehab and physical therapy at our DuBose Health Center. This was so convenient for me, being a husband, because I could eat dinner with her. So it felt very comfortable. An aside to that is the fact that housekeeping was done for me. I did not have to do any of that. I didn't have to make up my bed. You know, we looked at about 10 to 12 places before we decided on the Cedars. And as a UNC grad, it just felt great to come back home and be a resident at the Cedars. My name is Jim Smith, and I'm a Tar Heel.
Thanks, Jim. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
This is Roy Williams, and thanks, Ron Stutz. You've done a great job of waking everybody up in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. After you wake them up, you've probably put them to sleep again, but congratulations.
Well, thank you, Roy. 844 at WCHL. Some special guests in the studio this morning, and number one, we have Gene Medler here. And Gene, you know, we talk about you guys once a year at least.
Yeah.
You've been doing such a great job with so many different things over the years. Gene Medler is the founder and artistic director of the North Carolina Youth Tap Ensemble. And Gene, if you would, introduce our other guests here.
This is Luke Hickey and Brianna Palasik and Kyle McConaughey.
Luke is a senior at Carborough High School. Kyle is a senior at Carolina Friends School, and Brianna is a senior at Durham Academy. Did I get all that right?
You did.
I read pretty well. Triangle audiences have the opportunity to see a hard-hitting, wide-ranging performance of high-quality percussive dance this weekend. The North Carolina Youth Tap Ensemble takes the stage at the Carolina Theater of Durham and for a program called Listen In, the ensemble's end-of-season show, and this is not a recital.
No, it's not.
Now, Gene, tell us about this show.
Well, it's a culmination of a year's work. We'll be premiering three world premieres of three pieces, the senior piece that the three dancers here have created, a piece by a former member of Stomp called Trash Talk,
mm-hmm.
and a Brazilian piece called A Good Feeling. It's to die for. It's Robbie Link on bass, John Hanks on drums, and Jim Crew on keyboard.
Fantastic. Well, you know, these are some really talented young people, and you have seen a lot over the years. The North Carolina Youth Tap Ensemble, let's go back just a little bit. When did it start?
1982.
Seems like longer ago than that.
Right, when dinosaurs ruled the earth.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've been doing this for a long time, and I know you're a former athlete, and this is something that is really near and dear to your heart. And basically, you teach people everything you know, and then you get out of the way, right?
That's what I do. I teach them everything I know. I open as many doors as I can, and then I get out of the way.
Yeah, that's important to be able to do that. Now, let me ask you, Luke. Is that you, Luke?
Yes.
Luke is a senior at Carborough High School. You've been in this program for how long?
This is my 10th season with the company.
My goodness.
Yeah.
What's the best thing about the North Carolina Youth Tap Ensemble for you?
The best thing is probably just the community and the family, because it opens up this the whole community. The tap community is getting larger. So just being a part of this amazing ensemble, we get to not only friends with each other, but we get to meet members of other ensembles or other mm-hmm. teachers, so it's just a whole community that opens up to you. So,
Brianna, you've been in the tap ensemble for almost as long, right?
Yes, I've been in the ensemble for 8 years now.
Yeah, what do you have to say about it for the folks out there who might not know about the organization?
Well, I'd say it's an amazing opportunity. Like anyone, we also have auditions every year at the beginning of the year, and everyone should come out to audition. It's a great experience. Gene is amazing. I mean, he is just the best role model you could ever ask for, and we've learned so much from him. I couldn't have asked for a better experience.
Wow, high words of praise. Certainly well-deserved. Kyle, you've been in the ensemble for a long time. What's the best part about it to you?
Yeah, this is my sixth year in the ensemble. I would say the best part of the ensemble for me has been just the chance to really understand what it's like to be a professional while still not having, like, my high school diploma. I get the chance to work with professionals a lot of the time. Some of the kids in the ensemble, like Luke over here, are going to be working in major festivals internationally this summer. Gene is well-respected throughout the entire world in the tap dance community. And so I really get the chance to work with amazing people and to develop my own skills and to just learn from them and hang out with them. And it's just been an amazing opportunity the entire time.
You get a jump start that other people your age don't have.
Absolutely.
No question. Gene, how can folks find out more about this show that is coming up at the Carolina Theater in Durham?
Right. It's at the Carolina Theater Saturday and Sunday. Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 1 o'clock matinee. We have two wonderful, tremendous guest performers, Jason Janis, who actually is a former member, Michelle Dorrance, who has been with us since forever.
Everybody loves Michelle.
Yeah, she's probably the hottest name in tap dance today.
Mm-hmm. In the world.
Yes, in the world.
Absolutely. Is there a website for folks can go to find out more?
Yes, it is. It's NCYTE.org.
Okay. You can find out more about the show and also about the North Carolina Youth Tap Ensemble in general. Now, we always, this is kind of a tradition, we always have somebody tap dance just a little. We only have a minute here.
Okay.
But you guys want to perform something for us here?
Yeah,
sure.
We're going to put the microphones down close to the floor so that everybody can hear it. And all that background noise is These folks getting ready, moving chairs out of the way. So what are you going to do? What's this? Is this called anything?
Why don't we do the BS chorus?
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
and then improvise.
All right. Well, you guys, improvising is the key word here. You know, we're talking about going with the flow. So, guys, go ahead. I wish this were TV so folks could see you and not just hear you. And a special note that Gene would have joined in the performance himself, but he's too tired. He's sitting here watching.
I didn't want to show him up.
Exactly. Hey, listen, thanks for coming in. And that website address one more time for those tickets is...
NCYTE.org.
All right. Everybody, get out and see this show because you're going to see some very talented young people and not so young Gene Medler. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It is 8:51 at WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz, and we'll have today's WCHL Hometown Hero coming up. One of our special moms we're honoring during the month of May. That's on the way.
With the wintry months finally behind us, Gray Outdoor Provision Company is featuring great gear options for taking summer adventures to a whole new level. Right now, we've got a durable, high-performance collection of Yeti coolers, which are far from your ordinary ice bucket. Models like the Tundra have 2 inches of cold-retaining insulation and extra-thick UV-resistant walls to keep your ice icy regardless of the temperature outside. From kayak fishing to tailgating, Yeti coolers will keep it colder longer. Find out more at your local shop or at greatoutdoorprovision.com.
At the UPS store, we love printing. Large format flyers, professional presentations and manuals, banners, bumper stickers, basically anything you might need. We do it all from start to finish. And now we have 3 convenient options to make the process even easier for you. Submit your print job by email or by visiting our new online print website at upsstoreprint.com, and we'll quickly have it ready for you to pick up. Or you can always bring your materials to one of our local stores in Chapel Hill North, on Fordham Boulevard, and in Meadowmont.
The UPS store, where we have fun taking exceptional care of our customers.
Concerts? Check. Outdoor movies? Check. Fresh and local goods? Check and check. Chapel Hill's new old neighborhood, Southern Village, has every ingredient for your perfect Southern summer. And guess what? Good times are cooking. This Sunday, we welcome the Durham Ukulele Orchestra as part of our annual Sunday music series on the Village Green. Join us at 6 p.m. for a fantastic performance that includes a ukulele jam at the end. So come have yourself a real Southern summer for free. Visit southernvillage.com for more information and see you Sunday at 6. Limited time to pack up and move out? At the UPS store, we have everything you need to help make your move quicker and easier. For a limited time, we're offering 25 to 50% off moving supplies, including 4 different size moving boxes, dish pack boxes with divider inserts, wardrobe boxes with hangers, packing peanuts, bubble wrap, and packing tape. To learn more about how we can help you with all of your packing and shipping needs, stop by the UPS stores on Fordham Boulevard, in Meadowmont, and in Chapel Hill North.
The UPS store, where we have fun taking exceptional care of our customers.
Take a quick look at your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, brought to you by Fifth Season Gardening Company. A lot of exciting things going on over there. Fifth Season Gardening has everything you need to grow, brew, and make your own, including a new nursery stocked with fruit trees, cold hardy tropicals, and many other unique plants you're not going to find elsewhere in the area. Fifth Season, not your garden variety gardening store. And by Dickie's Barbecue Pit in Durham, next to New Hope Commons. Eat in, call ahead for takeout, order in advance, or arrange for catering at dickies.com. It's 65 degrees. Mostly cloudy today, scattered showers with isolated thunderstorms possible, 40% chance of rain. High today in the upper 70s, and it's going to be very windy later on in the day, and again, a 40% chance of rain. I'm Ron Stutz at WCHL, and you want to win a $10 gift card to cruisers. All you got to do is call me right now. Tell me Wayne Pond's word of the day. What is the word? How do you spell it? What does it mean? 919-929-WCHL is your number to call. In the meantime, hear about today's important mom.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
All this month, WCHL is putting moms in our spotlight. It's Mother's Day month, and today's hometown hero mom is Debbie Davis Noel. She was nominated by her husband, Doug Noel.
Debbie's had a tough year. She's lost her mom, we've lost our son, and she lost an aunt. And during that whole process, she's been kind of the strong piece that holds us all together, and to make sure that we don't lose sight of our day-to-day things that moms do. We still have a wonderful daughter, and we now have a granddaughter, and we still have a grandson. And so she is kind of puts all of the details together to help us all go through those downsides and keeps us kind of uplifted during the good times. And she takes care of all those details when we know that it's something we could do, but she can do a lot better.
Well, there have been some terrible things that have happened in your family in the last year, but certainly I'm glad you're able to remember the good things as well, like the birth of your granddaughter. And I know that Debbie also has endured some other personal problems that were related to physical well-being.
Yeah, she's had one knee replaced. We've had some work on, and she's had work on her other knee. She's had some surgeries on her wrist, and she's had one other surgery. I can't remember who that's about, but she's had to endure all of that. She's also had adult onset of asthma, so she deals with that during this kind of season when the pollen's kind of bad, but also during times when there's a lot of smells around. So she has to endure those at the same time from a day-to-day period.
In spite of all that, she's managed to still be a good mom, a good grandmother, and a wonderful wife, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And it comes from more than just our family. We've had other people share that with us as well, that how strong she is through all the times.
I guess you could describe Debbie as a survivor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, congratulations to Debbie Davis Noel, today's honoree, our special Moms Month here on WCHL, and she is today's WCHL hometown hero.
Wonderful.
And today's honoree gets a free massage from Massage Envy Spa at Eastgate and South Point.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
857 at WCHL, I'm Rod Stutz. And the word of the day, Bob Johnson called in. Gazette, G-A-Z-E-T-T-E. It means newspaper. Bob gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Good morning. All right, coming up on WCHL, your opportunity to win some tickets
to see.
This is
Dan Patrick from my friends at the Chapel Hill.
Hang on a second there,
group recently
Dan.
Opened up a new restaurant. It's called Page Road Grill.
Never mind.
Great place to meet friends in the middle of the triangle. They got fantastic.
Okay. All right. As I was going to say, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Your opportunity to see that show coming up at DPAC, and Aaron Keck will have some tickets to give away a little later in the day, sometime between 3 and 7 this afternoon.
I am Earl McKee, Orange County Commissioner for District 2 and candidate for re-election. Orange County is a bright light in what many perceive to be dark days for North Carolina. We must continue to be that light, leading the way to ensure the perception of retreat on environmental and social issues does not become reality. I am Earl McKee, Democratic candidate, and I would appreciate your vote on May the 6th.
Paid for by Earl McKee for District 2.
Okay, we appear to be having some technical issues. I apologize for that. And we have all kinds of things to talk about today. We have our weather forecast, which is a whole lot better than it was yesterday at this time, I can tell you that much.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Jane Smith, Cedars member since 2010. Here's what she had to say.
Recently, I went through an ordeal that made me especially glad that I'm living at the Cedars. We were traveling in Ireland and I broke my femur for the second time. After being hospitalized in Ireland, air transported to UNC, I was discharged to DeVos Health Center, where I received rehab, physical therapy, and occupational therapy. I really appreciated the ease of transition through the different care levels. The first time this happened, I had to make round trips 3 times a week of 50 miles to receive my rehab.
Okay, well, hopefully you'll hear more about that later on in the day. Now, WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather looks like this. Mostly cloudy today, scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. High today in the upper 70s. Strong winds later on in the day as well. 40% chance of rain today. It's 9 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Settapani. A batch of reports on the economy came out a short time ago, and it's a mixed bag of the good and the not-so-good. Economist Stuart Hoffman is impressed with solid gains in personal income and consumer spending.
Real nice spending, a little bit of a spree that won't last, but a good number we just got for March shows that the consumer is feeling pretty good and actually did better as the quarter ended.
On the other hand, new claims.